2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. This follows a passage that talks about the church at Corinth and encouraging them in their giving to the Lord. Not just giving financially, but giving of ourselves. Giving of our abilities. And God loves a cheerful giver. You know, I've heard people say, they've been in a church that whenever people gave in the offering, they laughed. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. Because the word cheerful actually comes from the same root word from which we get our word hilarious. Okay, so we should be giving unto God and thanking God. You know, whenever you give something to your children or you give something to your grandchildren and they open it up at Christmas time and they're having a good time with it, don't you just smile? Don't you just have a laugh? You know, we had some Christmas, our grandkids are headed up north in just about 24 hours. They're headed up north. And so we had some Christmas last night with Hope's parents. Good to have Jack and Charlene Burnside here with us. And when the kids were opening up some things and we were laughing with them. Why? Because we enjoyed giving to them. You know, some people have a problem giving to Jesus Christ because they don't know Him. They don't love Him. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says it this way. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. One of the hardest things it is to try to teach young people. Did you have a hard time teaching your children, what do you say? Thank you. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You know, folks, Jesus Christ came and was born in a manger. He came without any pomp and circumstance. Someone thought, well, they should have done something magnificent in the universe. Well, God sent one star. God sent an angel to give the announcement to the shepherds. And the announcement didn't go to the king, didn't go to the empires. It went to shepherds. Thanks be unto God for Jesus Christ humbling Himself. I think of this thought here. If you're jotting things down, write down our walk, our behavior, our reaction. We should have a humble heart. You know the problem in America today, the problem in churches today, the problem in families today is that we have a spirit of entitlement. We feel like we deserve something. We feel like that someone should do something nice for us because we're important. You know, God's telling us that we should have a humble heart before Him. And a humble spirit, and a contrite heart before Him. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's why Jesus had to come, because we were wayward sheep in our own sin. So truly, we don't deserve any goodness that God has given. We need to have a humble heart, and we need to have an attitude of gratitude. Not just on Thanksgiving and not just on Christmas. But the Bible says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. We should be thankful. When did you honestly and sincerely last time thank God for your salvation? If you're saved, if you're going to heaven, when did you take some time just to say, by the way, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for coming into my heart and forgiving my sin. Thank you, Lord, that I'm trusting you to take me to heaven. It'll do us good if we just recognize with a humble heart and with an attitude of gratitude in our walk to have a thankful walk. But the verse goes on to say some things. The Bible says, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. This speaks of our worship. Our worship. A lot of us don't have an idea of what worship is. I mentioned earlier that giving is a part of our worship. Yes, it is. But worship goes far beyond that. Far beyond that. It's our self-sacrifice. It's our submitting our will to His will. It's honoring Him. It's blessing His holy name. My friend, when is the last time you just... took a song that you know, like maybe a song like How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the things thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. That's a song of worship. That's a song of praise. Now, we oftentimes, anytime we spend time with God, it's this. Lord, bless me. Lord, I need this. Lord, would you fix that? Lord, would you heal this? You know, all those kinds of things. Most of our time with God is spent as a short order clerk, pulling up to the drive-thru, waiting for the intercom to come on, and him saying, okay, what can I do for you? When it should be reversed. Lord Jesus, what can I do for you? I'm reporting for duty. I love you, Lord. You are my God. Thanks be unto God. Why is it that it's not until the doctor is talking about sending us to hospice that we start to realize who we are and who God is? And why is it that it seems like that we are so distracted and consumed with the material things of this world? Let me just help you here. It's no different today than it was 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man had life by the tail. He had everything that he'd ever wanted. He didn't want for anything. Lazarus, he just went through the garbage. He went through the trash. He tried to find some biscuits that were left over, some pieces of food, and he lived off the garbage of the rich man. But the Bible says that the rich man died. And you know how much of that he left behind? All of it. All of it. So that is probably Satan's most effective tool, is to get us distracted on things that make us happy, that make us feel good, when God has promised to do all those things for us. Spend some time in God's presence. Spend some time thanking Him for the simple things that you cannot put a price tag on. If you knew who your parents were, some people don't. If you knew who your parents were, and maybe they weren't great parents, but they took care of you, they looked after you, they provided for you, thank God for your parents. If you have been blessed with children, the gift of life, thank God for that. Worship Him and praise Him. Say, well, how can I worship Him? Then tell God who He is. Lord, I thank You that You are holy. And just park there a while. You are holy. That means that you are just and you are fair and that you can't do anything mean to me. You will never be cruel. Thank you, Lord, that you are love. God is love. Spend some time in prayer telling God who He is, and it'll have a spiritual scrub brush to your heart, and you're going to shine before Jesus before too long of doing that. Worship, our worship, our walk, our worship. And then last, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift. Have you ever been at a loss for words? Just didn't know what to say. Okay? Some people more than others, right? Some people always know what to say or always have something to say. But the Bible says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. In other words, it's hard to put it into words. Some things are just too magnificent. They're too huge. They're too blessed. You know, when you have that first little one come into your life, you don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. Here's Eugene Mefford. He's a police officer, you know? And there came a day Eugene that Natalie told you. Said, honey, I think we have a baby on the way. The doctor told you all, you're going to be mom and daddy. And then Lila entered this world. And I'm sure, Eugene, if you were a little bit like me, I was all thumbs. You know, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I was just, you know, kind of, we were talking about that on last night a little bit. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. How do you put into words whenever you wrap your head around trying to understand the grace of God and how wicked and how sinful we are, and how that Jesus took my sin and your sin on the cross, and how he died in our place? How do you even begin to put your gratitude into words? It's all right, because the Holy Spirit says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit helps our infirmities when we don't know how to pray and how to express our heart, that the Holy Spirit interprets our heart before the throne of grace, before God himself. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We talk about our walk, talk about our worship. Now let's talk about our words, the things that come out of our mouth. Here it says unspeakable. Unspeakable. But you know, our words can be priceless. Dads, grandpas, moms, grandmas, young people, your words can be priceless. Words are possessions. Words can be given. And they cannot be taken back. They cannot be erased out of someone's mind. Make sure that the words that you use and the things that you say are priceless words. Let me illustrate. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. What's he saying there? A word fitly spoken. That means saying the right thing at the right time is priceless. It's wonderful. Our words can be priceless, and our words are powerful. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. At Christmas time, why not give some gifts of wonderful words? I am so thankful that God gave you to us. You are so special. I am so proud of you. I could not be happier as your father, as your mother. I could not be more blessed of God. You are so precious to me. You know what that does for a child? If that child is 61 years old, it matters not. What that does for... How many times as a counselor, as a pastor, have I heard it over and over again? People sitting in my office, and they say something to me like this: my father never told me he loved me. Now, the Bible tells us, as husbands, love your wives. You know why the Bible commands us to do that? Because it's difficult for us to do that. It's more difficult to say it. I love you. And to our children, to say, I love you, I thank God for you, I'm proud of you. Those are priceless words, and pour them on. That might be the strength, that might be the foundation our children need to navigate this terrible, wicked world, to know that they have a praying mom, a praying dad who accepts them just like they are. You know why our children have problems? Because they came from us. That's why they got their problems. That's why they're mischievous. You know, that's why they come up with all these things. Where'd they get that? It's so neat to be a grandparent. It's so neat. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's so neat. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Our words, our walk, our worship. Here's one last thing about our words. Romans chapter 10 says something about our words. Listen to this. Verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Make sure and lock in on this. Every eye here, please. Some of you think that believing in Jesus Christ, giving assent to the fact that he came and was born as a baby, that he lived a 33-year life, and that he died on a cross, you might think that that's enough to get you to heaven. My friend, the devils believed in Jesus. They believed in Jesus. In fact, whenever Jesus showed up and they were inhabiting a vessel and they would possess that vessel, that human being, and whenever he would tell those devils and those demons to come out, they obeyed him. They knew exactly who he was. No doubt whatsoever. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is God incarnate in flesh. Amen. They knew that. You know what their problem was? They would not confess. They could not confess. They had rebelled and they would not. You know, our problem as sinners, our problem is we want to hang on to our sinful life and try to hang on to some kind of religion too at the same time. When you got to let go of religion and you got to let go of your sin and you've got to embrace a relationship with Jesus Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. When did you confess? You see, confessing with your mouth, that happens at a time and a place. May the 5th, 1987, I confessed with my mouth before witnesses. People heard me. Two of them were over there. I confess with my mouth that I take hope to be my bride. I said the words. That was a point in time in my life. Well, folks, when did you say the words? No special words. But when did you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Well, I've always believed on him. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe on the heart that God. Both things. And in fact, verse 13 sums it up when it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, emphasizing there has to be an action on your part. Jesus Christ, he came 99 yards. All you take is one step and you can enter heaven. He did it all, but that one step that he asks of you, a step of faith to call on him. I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't know. I believe it could be very soon. That's my heart. We don't set dates. We look for him to come today. If he doesn't come today, we look for him to come tomorrow. But I believe his coming really is very soon. But what probably might even be even a more frightening thought than that, I don't know when I'm going to stand here beside someone's casket at this church. I don't know. We're all one heartbeat away. We're all one car accident away from standing here weeping because we're going to miss someone until we see him again in heaven. But if there's not been that time that you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, according to God's word, you would never see your loved ones ever again. So, well, what about in hell? I've got bad news for you about hell. On top of it being a lake of fire, on top of being painful, on top of being eternal, and all those kinds of things, the Bible says it is a place of outer darkness. So even those that perhaps you work with or run around with or whatever the case may be, you will not even see them. You will suffer for all of eternity in a devil's hell. You say, well, how can there be flames and how can there be the burning and no light? Ask the folks at NASA. They thought for a long time that the hottest flame was the yellow flame. And then the natural gas people kicked in and they said, no, the hottest flame is the blue flame. And now they say that the hottest flame known to man that we've ever seen, the hottest flame, gives off no light whatsoever. That's the hottest flame. And that's why when you come out, you see a rocket take off, there's a portion of it that you just see right through. It doesn't even give off a light at all. A place of outer darkness. Jesus doesn't want you to go there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is Christmas Sunday. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. If this gift were salvation, and Jesus Christ walked up to you and said, I paid for this with my blood. I did it because I love you. I did it because I want you to be with me in heaven. And I can't begin to describe how horrible the place is that I made for the devil and his angels. And I do not want you to go there. So I paid it all. And all you have to do is receive the gift. Will you please take it? I'm not going to push it on you, but it's yours, and I want you to have it. A person would be a fool to push Jesus aside. And is it no surprise that if we do that, that God the Father, as it were, would say, you rejected my son, I reject you. It's as simple as that. So today, there's no reason for you to walk out those doors and wonder, I sure hope that car coming at me does not have a drunk in it. Because if I died, I don't know where I'd go. Would you confess Jesus Christ today? Would you receive his gift of salvation today? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one's looking. Would you thank him for his unspeakable gift by receiving it today? Say, well, I think I'm saved, preacher. Thinking you're saved is not enough. You better know that you're saved. You better know that heaven's your home. This church cannot get you to heaven, but Jesus can. Say, well, what do I do? May I lead you in a prayer that if you will pray from your lips, and if you will mean your heart, Jesus Christ will forgive your Savior so you can have the gift of salvation today. With no one looking, look within your own heart. And would you pray this prayer today? Just something like this, you can whisper it to God. He will hear your prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that you died on the cross for me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart and my life and save my soul. I'm only trusting you, Lord Jesus, to take me to heaven when I die. Thank you for saving me. Help me to live for you as a Christian and to not be ashamed of you. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one is looking. You just prayed and asked Jesus to save you. If you did, then don't be ashamed of Jesus. Our heads are bowed, no one's looking. If you would say, preacher, I did that. I asked Jesus to save me just then. I formed the words. No, I didn't pray it big and loud because God could hear my prayer. I meant it. I asked Jesus to save me just then. This is the special day I've been looking for. Let me rejoice with you about that, would you? Would you slip your hand up and take it right back down? Would you let me rejoice with you today? Well, God bless your heart. I'm looking. Yes, preacher, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me just then. And I meant it from my heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you and I give you the glory for the message of salvation, for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, I pray now that you would take this moment, I pray. And Lord, may it redound to your glory. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do now. In Jesus' precious name. Our heads are still bowed. In a moment, I'm going to ask us to stand. And here's what I want you to consider doing today. There are some who prayed and asked Jesus to save you just then. Would you let us have a word of prayer with you to help seal this decision in your heart and life? Jesus has it sealed in heaven. We'd like to give you something to take home with you. Something to get your life started out in a good Christian walk with the Lord. We'll give you a little booklet and you take that home with you. And I'd like to have a word of prayer with you before you go. Christian, please listen. This is birthday for Jesus Sunday. There are some who would say, Lord Jesus, I wish I had $10,000 to put in an offering plate. I wish I could give you $1,000,000. I wish, God, that I could just shower you with blessings monetarily. But Lord, I don't have that. Some of you might be like the little boy that when the offering plate was passed, he was only 5 years of age. And he said, sir, would you put the offering plate on the floor? He said, what do you mean, son? Would you just set the offering plate on the floor? So the usher set the plate on the floor. He stepped in the offering plate and he looked up to God and said, I'm yours, Lord. There may be some that want to renew the gift of themselves to the Lord Jesus today. And in this time of prayer, to just say, Lord, I'm committing myself to you. I may not have much, but you have all of me. I believe God would be glorified in that. If the Lord leads you to do that, it would be a great expression of your worship unto him.